This is The Source on KSTX, a product of the Texas Public Radio Newsroom. I'm David Martin Davies. In rapidly growing Texas, which is home to 1 in 11 children in the U.S., child poverty has continued to increase despite our improving economy. That's according to a recently released report. There was a 47% increase in the rate of Texas children living in poverty from 2000 to 2011. That's according to the Kids Count report by the Center for Public Policy Priorities. 27% of Texas children were living in poverty in 2011, a rate that puts the Lone Star State among the 9 worst states in the country. We're going to be discussing childhood poverty in Texas. We encourage you to call in. The number is 614-8980, 614-8980. You could also email your questions and comments to the source at tpr.org. And with us this half hour to discuss child poverty, Kathy Fletcher is the president of Voices for Children, a San Antonio advocacy research group. And we also have Dr. Frances DeVinny, and she is with the Center for Public Policy Priorities and the Kids Count Director. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you for having me.
So, Frances, let me ask you about this report, Kids Count. And we've talked about this in previous years when this report has come out, and it seems to get worse every year. What's up?
Well, we do have a lot of measures that we look at that maybe aren't going in the right direction. But what's exciting about this report is that we've taken a much longer look, too, at what's happened in the last 20 years. This is actually the 20th anniversary of the Texas Kids Count Report, so we have a lot of data over time that we can look at to see how our choices have affected kids. And what we see is that when Texas invested more in education, more in health, more in nutrition, kids' outcomes got better. There was a significant relationship between those investments. And so a lot of people worry, well, if we put more money toward education, do we really know if it's going to make a difference? We have the data that show it does. The bad thing about, you know, the current data is that we're in a period of disinvesting in Texas kids. We're saying, you know, this is not really something we have the money to put toward, these basics like education and health and nutrition. And that's not serving our kids well, and it's not serving Texas well for the future.
So let me ask Kathy Fletcher, you're here in San Antonio with the Voices for Children. How do the San Antonio Bexar County numbers look?
Actually, child poverty has not gone up nearly as much in San Antonio and Bexar County as it has in the rest of the state and the rest of the country. Our children, even though we grew a lot, our child population grew close to 20% in those years. Our child poverty rate is only up under 13%, 12.8%. And I think that's a very encouraging thing for our community.
Frances, as I look at the numbers, I notice that they've gone up quite a bit, even in rural areas. This is not a city issue.
It's not. We usually think about poverty being concentrated in the metro areas, and that's very true. But where we really see the highest percentages of poverty concentration is in our kind of smaller, more rural counties and along the Texas-Mexico border, which are quite a few of those counties are rural as well. And the reason is because we don't have the job availability and the skills to be able to access those good jobs in those rural areas. And that's why we're seeing families not being able to make ends meet.
All right, so let's get back to the point that you're making about you're seeing that if we do dedicate more resources to the issues of child poverty, that we do see better outcomes, right?
Well, so what we've seen in the past, and what's exciting is this is Texas data with Texas kids, is that when we invest in education in the past, when we've invested more in education, when we really put that as one of our priorities, kids' test scores get better. They drop out less. We see better academic outcomes. But we also see better health outcomes for those kids. Their actual health ratings are better. They're immunized at a higher rate. And we also see that their safety is better. They die less often from accidents, and they're less likely to be abused. And all of these things really impact those negative outcomes that can come from living in poverty. So poverty in and of itself is not destiny. We can make choices that can help alleviate some of the problems with poverty, one of those being helping the adults in those families get into better jobs and get that better post-secondary education to be able to get those jobs, but also to help protect children from the negative aspects of poverty in the meantime.
So you mentioned that there were some windows when Texas was doing some investment eras. When was that?
So it primarily, you know, we saw our biggest investments in kids kind of during the 90s, and then it kind of trailed off in the 2000s. And then, you know, of course, once we, in the early 2003, we made a bunch of significant cuts, particularly to health care. And then we saw some increases again up through 2007, and then the recession came, right? And so like most other states, we had budget crunches, and we started making some significant cuts once our public coffers kind of caught up with the economy. And so we had huge cuts to education in 2011, and we made some restoration of that, but not completely, in 2013. So we haven't even gotten back to where the same level of investment that we were at before 2011.
So let me ask our San Antonio expert in child poverty, Kathy Fletcher. You're with Voices for Children. So the state's not providing the resources, but how about locally in Bexar County in San Antonio? Is that why we're seeing better results here?
I think that's part of it. I think we're a very sensitive city. I think we have a lot of community organizations and city and county governments that really work very hard to maximize whatever resources we can. It's very hard when you're talking about some of the publicly funded or nonprofit programs. More people are coming in the door, and so it's very hard to keep up. But as a community, I think we try very hard and work together a lot in the nonprofit sector to try to meet as many needs as we can. I think one of the things that helps, that doesn't exactly help, but we are a community of working poor. That has some real major implications for children when parents have to work two and three jobs to make ends meet. But people do work. A lot of the jobs are low paying because the skills are low. And many of these folks suffered the most in a recession and have had a harder time catching up once the recession started abating. But we do have people who continue to work. We do have jobs that people continue to have. And we do have a lot of community organizations and government that work hard to help the situation.
All right, we're talking about...
Go ahead,
Fritz.
Kathy made a really interesting point here, which is that, you know, Texas, on the whole, has a much lower unemployment rate than the rest of the country. We actually have a really good unemployment rate in comparison. San Antonio's is even better. But we have one of the highest rates of low-income jobs in the country. That means jobs that pay minimum wage or less. And so that means that we have a lot of people, like Kathy was saying, working really hard. One and two, you know, full-time jobs.
Going paycheck to paycheck and trying to make it work. We got to take a break. Frances Devaney, we're going to be right back. We're going to continue our conversation about childhood poverty. It's what's happening in Texas right now. The numbers are grim. Find out what can be done about that. We want to hear from callers. The number is 614-8980. This is The Source on KSTX. You're listening to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. A recent report released by the Center for Public Policy Priorities saying that 27% of Texas children are living in poverty in 2011. That puts the Lone Star State among the 9 worst in the country. They're not the only ones coming up with these grim statistics. The Hamilton Project, a policy wing of the Brookings Institute, found that nearly 28% of Texas children are food insecure. This is obviously, there's consensus here that Texas children, many of them, are not getting what they need if we want to make sure that they are successful in life. With me to talk about that, we have Frances Devaney. She is the Center for Public Policy Priorities, and she is the Kids Count Director. And we have Kathy Fletcher. She's the Vice President of Voices for the President of Voices for Children, a San Antonio advocacy and research group. And so when we went to the break, we're talking about how these are working families. These are families that they're not on the dole. They're out there working, but working doesn't pay like it used to. Isn't that right, Kathy?
In this community particularly, we have a lot of minimally educated and minimally skilled people who work very hard at minimum wage jobs. That means families, parents have to often work two and three jobs just to keep up. That has a great deal of impact on children. Is that something I can discuss a minute? Okay, because that's what we look at. That may mean, for instance, that children don't know for sure where their next meal is coming from, where parents are struggling to pay for enough food to feed their families. That may mean that children, even though they qualify for free or reduced school breakfast and school lunch, may not have food on school holidays or not have enough food or not have the best kinds of food that they need to grow and develop.
That's another issue, not the right kinds of food.
Not the right kinds of food, because they're often, when people have little money for food, they tend to buy things that are cheap, which tend not to be the best things.
Starchy, developing foods. And that's how you can have these problems that seem to be in conflict. One of them is they're impoverished, but they have issues of obesity.
People don't understand that sometimes. The food that is cheap also plays into obesity. There are a lot of teachers.
And diabetes.
And diabetes, exactly, which is a endemic in this community. Teachers, lots of times, bless them, send children home that they know are not likely to eat the right foods or eat at all very much over the weekends and school holidays with snacks, with fruit, with peanut butter crackers, with a lot of things.
All right, the number to call to join the conversation, 614-8980, 614-8980. So, Francis DeVinny, at Kids Count Director, how do you do this study? How do you come up with these numbers?
It's a really good question. Again, we've been doing this for 20 years, and actually this report compiles data from all publicly available sources. Now, back in 1993 when we started, you know, the Internet wasn't very big yet, and you couldn't get information very easily. So the goal of the Kids Count Project was to bring together information from the Texas Education Agency, from the Department of Agriculture, from the Texas Workforce Commission into one easily accessible spot where you could get a good snapshot of kids. And we actually have over 80 different measures of how kids are doing for all 254 counties in Texas so that you can get a really good sense of what's happening with kids.
All right, let's go to the phones, and the phone line is 614-8980, and our first caller is Julian. Julian, welcome to The Source. You're on the air. Julian? Okay. Not there?
Okay.
All right.
Yeah. Well, I was listening to your speakers, and I'm extremely skeptical of their, quote, studies. Because I think they mistake a correlation with economic booms and busts with the benefits of public spending.
All right. So when we were talking earlier about how when there was an injection of public spending in certain areas that we saw better outcomes from these kids, and you're saying that's just a cyclical part of our economy. I'm sorry?
Right. I don't think that's related to achievement. If it were, if that was true, then the tripling of educational funds in the 45 years since I graduated high school would have increased academic achievement somewhat. And in fact, the tripling of spending on education after inflation since 1968 has had no effect to speak of.
Okay, Julian, let's get our experts to address those issues. But thank you for calling in. Appreciate those comments. So, Francis DeVinny at the Kids Count Director, can you respond to what the issues that Julian brings up?
Absolutely. And I think Julian has skepticism, which I think is really good because it talks about his civic engagement. But I can address his concerns specifically. In our study, we actually looked at 20 years of spending. We did adjust for inflation. We did adjust for population growth, all of those kind of wonky things. We took into account changing demographics and all those things. And we also saw that during times of economic growth, we did see more investment from the state. But there were also other periods of economic growth where we saw stagnant investment or disinvestment in kids. So there was over the course of 20 years, there's quite a mix. So it's not specifically we always invest more by the state when the economy gets better. So because there was change over time in those investments and change in the economy that weren't exactly the same, we actually do see a relationship still between greater investment by the state and greater outcomes for kids. Now, he is correct that it is a correlation. So we're not saying that it is a direct specific cause. There are many factors at play. But when you look at those relationships over time, and specifically in those chunks of time where there's disinvestment, where there's increased investment, and we factor in the fact that the economy may have changed differently in those times too, we still see the relationship between investment. And it's not about throwing money at a problem. We know that because we still spend less than most every other state on most every other category. So it's not like we are just throwing wads of cash at a problem. When Texas invests, we invest incredibly smartly. We invest in programs that are incredibly effective, like the high school completion grants program and like pre-K expansion. And when we did that, we actually saw extreme benefits for kids, like better passing grades in the third grade tax test when the tax test was in place. And actually, I would disagree with him about change over time because we've seen a significant decline in any way you can measure the dropout rate over the course of the last 20 years. And so we have seen some real improvements. What we're saying is we still have a long way to go, and if we put kids first the way that we put many other things in our state first, imagine what we could do.
Right. So let me ask you, what are some pilot programs that are seeing great outcomes, that things that we can learn from?
Well, it's programs that we actually even had in this state, but that we have made a choice not to support in recent years. So, for example, pre-K expansion. We invested significant money in over the last many years in helping school districts who had kids who were economically disadvantaged to be able to go to preschool. And if they needed extra funds to be able to, you know, rent a portable or to provide the space or buy new chairs, they could do that so they could bring kids in for pre-K. And when we look at the data for kids who attend pre-K versus kids who don't, they do better on their test scores later in third grade. And that's Texas data, so we know it works. Another good example is communities and schools. Now, that program, thankfully, has not gone away, but it's been a critically important part of making sure that kids stay in school, feel like they have support in their kind of educational and life goals, and they work specifically with the schools to help them, you know, achieve their graduation goals.
So we're talking about how many of these families are working families, and we're seeing nationally a dialogue about whether or not to raise the minimum wage. And if the minimum wage were increased, do you think that would have a widespread impact on increasing or doing something about these issues that we're seeing in front of us? Kathy Fletcher from the Voices for Children, what do you think about that?
Goodness, I guess I have mixed feelings about that, and I'm not astute enough in that area to know for sure. I think rather than talking about increasing the minimum wage, which is important, which could be a problem if then some jobs go away, there are two sides to it. I think we would be better off if we increased skills. If we increase skills, if we increase education, we put people in a position to be in higher paid jobs. I heard someone say today, probably on TPR, that fast food restaurants and those kinds of jobs that pay minimum wage actually have always been stepping stones to other, they've not been permanent careers, they've been stepping stones to other things. If we invest early in education, and I think San Antonio is on the right path with all of what we're doing to keep kids in school and with pre-K and hopefully eventually looking at even earlier intervention, then we will have families that are people that are in a position to command better wages, and we will have more businesses that want to come to San Antonio because we have a more educated population. So I think it's really a longer term kind of issue than increasing the minimum wage tomorrow.
So, Francis DeVinny, a Kids Count director, what do you think? What are some policy suggestions that are out there to try and turn this trend around?
Well, there's many things we can do. There's kind of two classes of policy changes that we need to look at. One is making sure that we protect children from the effects of poverty while they're living in it. There's a lot of research that shows that, you know, when children are living in poverty or even in low-income families, that can create what's called a toxic stress. And I can see people rolling their eyes when they hear this term. But what that means is we're talking about families working those two and three jobs, and so they may have to move a lot because they can't make rent, and that creates disruption in a child's academic world, or they may not be able to put that food on the table. So by providing...
They may not have good child care. They may leave children alone because they can't afford child care. They can't afford to or have the time or physical or emotional energy to do things like read to children, take them to the zoo, take them to the children's museum. And toxic stress is real. There was a recent article last month in the Journal of the American Medical Association Pediatrics following a number of hundreds of children for several years with brain scans. And the stress that comes and all the associated kinds of consequences that come from not having sufficient income to meet needs has a real effect on the brain.
You know, when I talk to teachers and they deal with kids, problem kids in schools, they say it's really the parents that's making the kids the way that they are. And the parents are a product of a system that just, you know, over time has kind of beaten them down. So I guess that's the impact of the stress that you're talking about.
Well, and what I would say is, you know, we can't think about children living in a bubble. We have to think about children living within their family and within their community. And certainly a lot of families struggle. They may struggle with, they'll struggle with their finances if they're low income. They may struggle with the stress that comes from that. But, you know, I wouldn't want to paint low-income families as being troubled families, right? But what we're saying is that, you know, for children to be able to meet their best potential, they need to have food on the table, access to a doctor when they need one, and good education. And a lot of people might say, why should I care about kids who are living
in poverty?
Because
that's our future.
My family's not.
These kids, they're our future, our next workforce. I want to thank both of you, Kathy Fletcher, President of Voices for Children in San Antonio, and Francis DeVinny, a Center for Public Policy Priorities, talking about childhood poverty in Texas. This is The Source on KSTX.